50s, lows in the mid-40s. 70% chance of rain through tomorrow night. And currently in downtown Seattle, it's 51 degrees. The barometer is falling. It reads 30.15. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. The Red Cross now puts the death toll at 314 in the tornado-ravaged states of the Midwest and South. I'm Stephanie Shelton reporting on the CBS Radio Network. One of the towns, almost destroyed by Wednesday's tornadoes, buried some of its dead Sunday. Brandenburg, Kentucky held public, non-denominational services, as Ike Pappas reports.
A high school gym served as a makeshift chapel. There were 15 caskets containing the bodies of 16 tornado victims. The bodies of a young mother and her three-month-old daughter lay in the same coffin. It seemed as if all 1,700 residents of this town were here, grieving as one family. Clergymen of various denominations offered prayers and tried to bring some comfort to the shattered community.
We ask now, O God, that you comfort the hearts of the families that mourn the loss of their loved ones, that you give strength and energy and courage to those that labor in the rescue work as we set about to rebuild.
Some of the victims were buried in cemeteries in various parts of the county, but not here in Brandenburg. That will come later this week. The local cemetery, also ripped by the tornado, has only now been sufficiently cleared of debris to allow crews to dig graves. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Brandenburg.
In other communities, the efforts at reconstruction continued. Federal officials say 6,000 to 7,000 people are homeless, and property damage, when it's finally totaled, will run in the millions. More than 20 square miles of New Mexico's Lincoln National Forest has been destroyed by a wind-fed fire, which officials think was started 2 days ago by campers. Winds gusting up to 60 miles an hour have continued to spread the blaze, but with more than 500 firefighters on the scene, officials hope to contain the fire soon. President Nixon will return to Washington Monday after spending the night at his Camp David retreat in the Maryland Mountains. The president returned Sunday afternoon from 2 days in Paris, a trip taken to attend memorial services for France's President Pompidou. After the services, Mr. Nixon conducted a series of mini-summit meetings with some of the other world leaders gathered in Paris, meetings which White House officials say were encouraging to the president because they showed that Mr. Nixon is still considered a key force in the effort toward global stability. The president's chief of staff, General Alexander Haig, said Mr. Nixon was especially pleased with his meeting with Soviet President Nikolai Podgorny. According to Haig, both leaders came away convinced that there will be positive results from President Nixon's planned trip to Russia in June. Donald Alexander, the commissioner of the Internal Revenue, refused Sunday to say if the nearly $500,000 in back taxes owed by President Nixon contains a 5% negligence penalty. Alexander, interviewed on the CBS News program Face the Nation, did say that the IRS does not believe there was any fraud involved in Mr. Nixon's tax returns. Attorney General William Saxby says he can't believe Patricia Hearst would join the Symbionese Liberation Army voluntarily, and he had some words of comfort for Patricia's parents Sunday night.
I still hope that she's alive and well and will be returned to family. I just can't believe that she will go off and disappear with these people. I think that she's a pretty smart girl, and she may have taken the idea that this may save her life.
But Saxby said he's more convinced than ever that the Hearsts should not have bargained with the SLA because, as he put it, if something happens to Patricia, it would be a terrible tragedy after what the Hearsts have done to comply with the kidnappers' demands. Saxby added that if he's ever kidnapped, he's told his wife and the people in his office not to pay any ransom of any kind. Meanwhile, Randolph and Catherine Hearst and two of their daughters flew to Mexico Sunday for what a family spokesman said was a needed rest. They're expected back at their Hillsborough, California home in about 10 days. The Environmental Protection Agency says it will issue simplified gasoline mileage data so that buyers of 1975 model cars will have an easier time interpreting the figures. More CBS News after this message.
This is Andy Musser, CBS Sports. Every weekday on Game Plan, I examine the big upcoming sports events, get the locker room wisdom, talk to the players, coaches, and broadcasters, and try to figure out what the results will be. We look ahead and consider the big games on the immediate schedule. It's pregame analysis taking everything into consideration that may affect the outcome. Hope you'll match your forecast with mine on Game Plan every Monday through Friday here on the CBS Radio Network, where the listeners are.
Hi, I'm Norm Crosby. Did you know that 11 million Americans have an untreated hearing problem? And that includes 3 million school-age kids. Now, most hard of hearing people...
If the White House will honor its request for tapes of 42 presidential conversations. Committee Chairman Peter Rodino released a letter Monday from presidential lawyer James St. Clair, promising a decision on the request by Tuesday, which was the day the committee had set as a deadline for the White House to turn over the requested tapes. In St. Clair's letter, there was no indication whether any tapes will be given to the House committee on that day, and Chairman Peter Rodino has scheduled a committee meeting for Wednesday or Thursday to deal with the question of subpoenaing the tapes if they aren't released. Some senators are already making contingency plans in case the House does impeach President Nixon. Among the planners, the Senate Majority Leader, as George Herman reports.
Senator Mike Mansfield told the members of the Senate that if and when the charges against President Nixon should ever reach the Senate, that body would have to give serious thought to opening up all the proceedings to television and radio. Mansfield said the American people should see and hear the totality of the evidence presented so that when each senator makes his judgment, the people would be fully informed of the basis on which it was made. Republican leader Hugh Scott, in reply, stressed the part of the majority leader's statement which warned senators not to publish their guesses about what would happen in the House Judiciary Committee or on the House floor. And Scott expressed hope that the Senate would act in a fair and impartial manner at all times. To which Mansfield replied that if televised impeachment hearings should be decided upon, there would be no circus because it would be the Senate itself which was on trial with the final jury, the American people. George Herman, CBS News, the Senate.
The prosecution has rested its case in the murder trial of former United Mine Workers President Tony Boyle after its key witness, a one-time UMW district officer, testified that Boyle ordered the 1969 assassination of union reformer Jock Yablonski. The government has presented 57 witnesses in just 6 days of testimony. The defense is expected to begin its case Tuesday. Tornadoes struck again Monday in Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, and South Carolina, killing at least one person and injuring more than 12. The new twisters hit just 5 days after tornadoes devastated parts of 11 southern and midwestern states, killing more than 300 people and leaving over 6,000 homeless. Eight women were honored Monday night for their contributions in fields ranging from science to creative arts. The women were selected by readers of the Ladies' Home Journal and presented with their awards during a live Woman of the Year television broadcast on CBS. Among the winners, actress Katharine Hepburn, newswoman Barbara Walters, tennis star Billie Jean King. More after this.
People can reach, people can touch, people can help people so much.
This is Paul Newman speaking. Ever been close to a family struck by cancer? Naturally, your feelings go out to them and you ask if there's anything you can do. And they say no thanks and you feel so helpless. Well, there is something you can do. You can tell someone in the family to get in touch with the American Cancer Society. Volunteers there are helping people every day with services, information, and counseling about local community resources. That can mean arranging transportation or homemaking help or informing them about existing rehabilitation programs. When your cancer crusader calls, join the people who care about people. Give generously. We want to wipe out cancer in your lifetime.
Arizona legislators have been meeting in a special session for nearly 6 months now, and on Monday, one of their number decided a little outside help might be needed to finish up the session. Give us wisdom, give us guidance, asked State Representative Charles King in the daily invocation, and please, give us adjournment soon. Stephanie Shelton, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, KIXI, with the time now is 6 minutes past 11.
Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall, bidding you welcome to the sound of suspense. Welcome to the fear you can hear. Welcome to the world of mystery. This is a tale of young love. The love of a charming young man for a charming young girl. It is also the story of a mother's love for her child. As you can see, this story is positively dripping with love. But don't be dismayed, because love, like a door, has two sides. And when the other side is hatred, it can drip with venom and gore.
You're a liar, Mr. Snowden. Don't you think I know what you are?
You're wrong, Mrs. Daniels. I love your daughter.
Why?
Because I do, that's all. You can't explain something like that.
Listen to me, young man. Even her own father couldn't bear to look at Bonnie's face. That's why he left her so much money, because he felt guilty for what he felt for his own poor, homely daughter.
But Mrs. Daniels, listen to me.
You're a liar. A liar. And a thief.
Our mystery drama, The Locked Room, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Henry Slessor and stars Jack Grimes and Corrine Orr. It is sponsored in part by new sugar-free diet 7-Up and by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Oh, somebody's been drinking my sugar-free diet 7-Up, and it's all gone.
Oh, actually, I saved a little.
Oh, a bear!
Hiya, Goldie. What's brewing?
That's Miss Goldilocks to you.
Oh, come on, kid. You mean you don't remember me? The cottage, the three chairs, the porridge?
Baby bear!
In the fur. Been a long time, Goldie.
But baby bear...
Just call me BB.
You drank all the sugar-free diet 7-Up, and I have to conduct another diet drink taste test today.
Well, yeah, I saw the sign on the door, a professional taste tester, huh?
But how can I conduct my taste test now?
Why bother? I tried those other diet drinks, too. You'll notice there's still plenty of them around. Why not ask me?
Well, okay, BB. Tell me, why did you drink all the sugar-free diet 7-Up?
I like the taste. Light, fresh, natural. Sugar-free diet 7-Up is definitely unbearably delicious.
Mm-hmm. The Marines are looking for a few good men. Men who want to learn good jobs. And today, a qualified man can choose the direction he wants to go in the Marine Corps. Choose the kind of skills he wants to learn, like computers, aircraft maintenance, or electronics, radio communications, food services, aviation technology. You name it, Marines do it. If you want to learn it, the Marines will teach you skills, responsibility, and leadership in any field you can handle. Remember, qualified men can choose their own directions in the Marine Corps. Skills to learn, careers to build in many directions. The Marines are looking for a few good men who want to choose their own directions, want to learn good jobs, want to be Marines.
Highway that winds its way into the hilly regions upstate. The hour is late, and the sleek white sports car whose hood ornament faces north is the only vehicle for miles around. Even the sound of its purring engine doesn't seem to disturb the quiet of the countryside. But inside the car, the sound level is something very different.
Davy, please, turn that down before I go deaf.
Well, what's the matter? Don't you like music?
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to save my hearing.
Okay, okay. Yeah, is that any better?
Much.
Hey, how much longer is this going to take? You said it was only 30 miles or so to the house, and we must have driven 50.
We have not. You're not watching the mileage.
Listen, there are so many gadgets on this dashboard, I wouldn't even know where the speedometer is.
But you do like the car, don't you?
Like it? Hey, Bonnie, do you know what I've been used to driving all my life? Secondhand pickup trucks. That's about all our folks could afford.
I hated this car at first when Mother gave it to me. I mean,
She must have thought it was whatever young girl wanted on her 17th birthday. But the truth is, I was scared stiff of her.
Well, why should you be?
I don't know. Just was. It always felt like it was running away with me.
Ah, but now you're running away with it. And me.
Oh, don't put it that way. I don't feel we're running away, Davy.
Oh, of course not, kid. That it was just a figure of speech.
Davy, look! Hmm? We're almost there! Oh, there's the old red barn I told you about.
Hey, great. Do I make a right here?
Yeah, a sharp right. And then straight up the hill until you come to the sign. If it's still there.
When was the last time you were here, anyway?
About 10 years.
You're no kidding.
Yeah, that's right. I was only 8 when we left.
Oh.
Davy, there it is. You can see the chimneys.
Oh, wow. Yeah, how many chimneys does the house have?
It seemed like hundreds. There was a fireplace in every room except the bathroom. Wait till you see it, Davy. Oh, just wait. Well, there it is. What do you think?
Now, that's what I call a real funky old house. How big is that place?
It has 4 floors and I guess about 30 or 40 rooms. I never counted them.
Those rooms and nobody living in them?
I know. It does seem like a terrible waste, doesn't it?
Oh, Bonnie, you're speaking to one room Davy Snowden, remember? The only place I lived in my whole life with more than one room was the farmhouse. Yeah, well, that had 3.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't keep talking about that. I mean, you know, how poor you were.
Okay, kitten. Rich little girls get to feeling guilty when they hear stuff like that. Look, let's not sit out in the car all night, huh? Let's go look at that old haunted house.
It is not a haunted house.
You sure you got the key now?
Yeah, right here in my purse.
And the lights are working?
I told you, we rent the place every summer. We have to keep the electricity turned on.
Well, let's go then.
There's a light switch right near the door. Yeah, here it is. There.
Look at the size of this place.
I know, it's a terrible old barn of a place. That's what my father called it. When he died, well, Mother just thought it was foolish, the two of us living here all by ourselves.
Looks kind of run down.
I'm afraid it is. The foundation is still solid.
Well, there's plenty of furniture. Hey, come on, show me the rest of the house, huh?
What would you like to see first?
Well, upstairs. That's where the bedrooms are, right?
Yes.
Well, that's the first thing we have to do. Decide which bedroom we want.
Oh, Davy.
Do you love me, Bonnie?
Oh, you know I do.
Say it.
I love you.
Say, I love you, Davy.
I love you, Davy.
Well, in that case, let's pick out the bedroom. How many choices do we have?
At least 10.
Oh, might take us all night. Come on. No, I don't like the look of that one. It's too gloomy.
That was my mother's room.
You mean your folks had their own room?
That's right.
Well, maybe that's how they do things when you're rich. But me, I'm just a country boy. Now, let's see about this door. Hey, this one's stuck.
No, it's locked. It's always been locked.
Well, what for?
I don't know.
Well, what's behind it? Another bedroom?
Honestly, I don't have the faintest idea. It's been locked ever since I can remember. Daddy once told me never to go near this room. Once I remember my mother talking about it, sort of nervously.
Oh, that sounds very mysterious. What do you say we break it in, huh?
Oh, Davy, no, we can't do that.
Well, gee, aren't you curious? Maybe it's full of hanging women, like in Bluebeard's castle. Or maybe that's where the family jewels are hidden.
Oh, let's leave it alone, Davy. I was always scared of that door.
Yeah, but what's it locked for? Seems to me when a door is locked, that means there's something pretty interesting behind it. Stands to reason, right?
Well, I'm sure it's just some old storeroom or something.
Bonnie, listen, there could be something valuable in there, something worth money. And since the house is yours, I mean, this is your house, isn't it? Your father left it to you, didn't he?
Yes.
Well, if there's anything valuable in there, it belongs to you.
Oh, Davy, all those promises not to talk about money.
I'm not talking about your mother's money. I'm talking about what's yours, rightfully yours.
But The house isn't really mine. Not yet. Not until I'm 21, and that's almost 4 years from now.
Now, don't be technical.
Oh, Davy.
Okay. Okay, if that's how you feel about it. We got plenty of time anyway.
Davy, remember what you said about the fire?
It's getting late, Bonnie. Don't you think we should be in bed?
Couldn't we have a fire first? Please?
Sure. Anything you say. We want this night to be perfect, don't we? Yeah, I guess I am a little like that. Boastful about my poor childhood. As if it's a badge of honor or something. We didn't light fires because they were cozy and romantic, only because they made us warm. And not very warm at that. Locked rooms. Yeah, that's really something, a locked room. The only room in our place that had a lock on it was the outhouse, and even that didn't work. Hey, you asleep? Hey, kitten, wake up. It's time to go to bed. Come on, Bonnie, wake up. Hey, what's that? Pete's sake, there's a car outside. Hey, Bonnie, wake up. There's somebody coming up.
What?
We got company.
Oh, no.
Well, who is it?
Oh, Davy, it can't be. Yes. That's her car outside. You can see it through the window.
You mean it's a neighbor or something?
No, it's my mother.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I have to let her in. She knows I'm here. She saw my car outside.
Well, I'm surprised you two aren't in bed already. That was the general idea, wasn't it?
Mother, please, let me explain.
I suppose you're David Snowden.
Yes, I am, Mrs. Daniels.
I see we have no trouble recognizing each other. Bonnie, fix your clothes. They're a mess.
I was just lying on the rug in front of the fireplace.
Yes, I've heard all about you, Mr. Snowden. Thank goodness I had the sense to think of this place when Bonnie didn't show up at home.
You have it all wrong, Mother. Davy, tell her.
Mrs. Daniels.
Never mind. I understand everything. I was afraid something like this might happen as soon as Bonnie started mentioning you in her letters from school. Bonnie, get your things. We're going home.
Mrs. Daniels, listen to me.
Sorry to break up your party, young man.
We're married, Mrs. Daniels.
What did you say?
Bonnie and I were married this afternoon. I've got the license right here.
It's true, Mother. We were married in Elkton.
That can't be. You're underage.
Not in Elkton, Mother. 18 is old enough. Davy and I are married, so you can't tell us what to do.
For the love of heaven, I think I have to sit down.
Oh, well, here, Mrs. Daniels. I'll just get the sheet off this chair.
Mother,
here.
Please try to understand.
I understand, Bonnie. I went through a dozen Davies when I was your age. Oh, Bonnie. Oh, my poor Bonnie.
Well, now, you don't have to feel sorry for her, Mrs. Daniels.
Don't I?
No, because I love her.
I suppose you have no money.
Mother!
Be quiet.
No, Mrs. Daniels. My family were farm people. My father's dead, my mother's alive, but I don't even know where. But you don't have to worry about that, Mrs. Daniels. I didn't marry your daughter because of money.
Didn't you?
No, I didn't. Bonnie and I talked about it. I almost didn't marry her because of that, because of what people like you would say.
You're a liar, Mr. Snowden. Don't you think I know what you are?
You're wrong, Mrs. Daniels. I love your daughter.
Why?
Because I do, that's all. You can't explain something
like
that.
Listen to me, young man. Even her own father couldn't bear to look at Bonnie's face. That's why he left her so much money, because he felt guilty at what he felt for his own poor, homely daughter.
Oh, Mother, don't, please.
Mrs. Daniels, listen to me.
You're a liar. A liar. And a thief.
Stop it. Stop
it. You've got a smooth tongue, Mr. Snowden. A handsome face and a smooth tongue. And I'm sure you've convinced my daughter that you're utterly sincere. But it's only her heart you want to steal, not her fortune.
I love Bonnie. That's all there is to it. We're married and there's nothing you can do about it.
You're quite wrong. There's everything in the world I can do about it. I intend to have this marriage annulled immediately.
You can't do that.
You have no idea how much money can do, young man. Bonnie, I'm going home now, and I want you to come with me.
No, I won't.
Don't make it any worse than it is now.
I won't go with you.
You see how it is, Mrs. Daniels?
Yes. I see how it is. Very well, Bonnie. But you'll regret this. Mark my words.
Mother, I can't live without Davy. If you make us separate, I'll never forgive you.
You will, darling. Strangely enough.
I'll kill myself. Do you hear, Mother? I'll kill myself if you do this.
Now, don't talk nonsense. You think your heart will break. But it won't. A heart doesn't break. It withers. That's what I don't want you to find out. Goodbye, Bonnie.
I mean it. I'll kill myself. Oh, Davy.
As Shakespeare informed us, the course of true love never did go smooth. And perhaps the same applies to the course of untrue love. But let's not judge the sincerity of young Davy Snowden just yet. Let's wait and see what happens next to the newlyweds when we return shortly with Act Two.
And now, another story of the ball and chain as Kellogg's Special K presents The Library.
Welcome to the public library. May I help you, sir?
Yes, I'd like to check out... I'd like to check out Famous Laundromats of the World by Audrey Schnorbart.
Sir, excuse me, but isn't that ball and chain you're wearing just like the ones they use in the Kellogg Special K commercials?
This ball and chain?
Yes, that one. How are you going to get rid of it?
Well, you know, lots of good exercises, and by eating smart at every meal, starting with the Special K breakfast.
Don't you have to watch your calories?
Yes, and the Special K breakfast is less than 240 calories.
Less than 240 calories?
Right. A 1 ounce bowl of high-protein Special K, 4 ounces of skim milk, tomato juice, and coffee. It's really tasty, and it's going to help me get rid of this ball and chain. I'd say it's long overdue, get it?
Your happy ending could begin with the Special K breakfast from Kellogg's.
People can reach, people can touch, people can help, people so much.
This is Paul Newman speaking. A typographer working with lead, a roofer exposed to benzpyrene and other hydrocarbons, all of us breathing carbon black from tire dust. Is there a connection? Lead, hydrocarbons, tire dust? Is there a connection between them and cancer? We intend to find out, because it could mean lives saved. This is part of a tremendous project being done by the American Cancer Society with the cooperation of unions and industry, plus tens of thousands of volunteer researchers surveying a million of their neighbors, a People Helping People project. We want to wipe out cancer in your lifetime. Please give generously to your American Cancer Society.
Now let's return to the locked room. The door we're looking at right now isn't the door to the old Daniels mansion upstate. This door is reached by walking up several long flights of stairs before you can read the faded numerals 4G.
Are we there, Davy?
Yeah, honey, here we are. Hey, you're winded pretty bad.
No, I'm all right. I warned you that I'm not very strong.
And I warned you that a fourth floor walk-up is no fun.
We don't have anywhere else to go, Davy.
Yeah, I know that, all right. Well, brace yourself. Here's the Snowden residence. I suppose I should carry you over the threshold. Well, come on in. Don't just stare at it.
It's not at all bad, Davy. Really.
Oh, you don't have to say that. Don't say anything except, I love you. That's always nice to hear.
You know that I love you, Davy.
Then close the door and show me.
Oh, Davy. Davy, I'm so worried.
Yeah, I knew that my room would affect you that way.
I don't care about the room. Anywhere is all right if I'm with you. We'll get along, and then I'll have the money my father left me.
Yeah, and 3 years, if you survive that long.
I'm sure my mother will change her mind about us. I'm sure of it, as soon as she gets to know you.
Oh, Bonnie, couldn't you tell? It was hate at first sight. She took one look at me, and it was hate kill.
Davy, do you think she can really do what she said? Get our marriage annulled?
I don't know. It was a legal marriage. I mean, you didn't need parental consent in that state.
But she's so smart about such things. She's run my father's company since he died. She has all these lawyers on her payroll.
Stop worrying about it, Bonnie.
But what if she could do it? I couldn't stand that, Davy.
Stop worrying, I said. You got one thing going for you, kitten, and that makes all the difference in the world. Your mother loves you. She wouldn't hurt you for anything.
Davy, tell me the truth. Do you think I'm homely?
I think you're beautiful.
Oh, I know that isn't true, but I'm not really repulsive, am I?
Are you kidding? Come here.
Oh, Davy. It's true about my father. I know that. He was so disappointed that I wasn't pretty.
He must have needed glasses. Who's that? Nobody even knows I'm here. Hello.
Is this Mr. David Snowden?
Yeah, that's right. Who's this?
My name is Hedinger, Mr. Snowden. I'm an attorney, Hedinger and Doles. We're on Vanderbilt Street.
Yeah, so?
One of my clients is Mrs. Harriet Daniels. I'm sure the name is familiar to you.
Yes, I've heard of her.
I was wondering if we couldn't get together to discuss a certain matter regarding her daughter, Bonnie.
You mean my wife, Bonnie?
Who is it, Davy?
Yes, that's right. I wonder if it would be convenient for you to come to my office sometime this afternoon.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Hedinger, but Mrs. Snowden and myself are a little busy at the moment.
Well, what about tomorrow, then? Would that be possible?
Is it my mother's lawyer?
Yeah, one of them, anyway.
I beg your pardon?
All right, Mr. Hedinger. I'll come to your office tomorrow. About 10 o'clock?
That would be just fine. The address is 50 Vanderbilt. We're on the 21st floor.
I'll be there. Well, it looks like the fun is starting.
Oh, Davy.
Please sit down, Mr. Snowden. I think you know the situation as well as I do. And you've probably anticipated my first question.
Well, I'm not sure I have, unless it's why don't I just go away and stop bothering her daughter?
It's something like that. But it would be hardly sensible to expect you to do such a thing without incentive.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Don't tell me I'm about to get an offer, a money offer.
Nobody's talking about a bribe, I assure you. There's a practical reason for such an offer. Annulment proceedings, no matter how certain we are of success, cost money. Mrs. Daniels could actually realize quite a savings if you cooperated for some flat figure, say $5,000. Not unreasonable of her.
Do me a favor, huh? You tell Mrs. Daniels that I wouldn't give up my marriage license for $1 million.
I notice you specify $1 million.
So long, Mr. Hedinger.
Please sit down. Huh? That wasn't all I had to tell you.
Okay. What else is there?
We can sue for annulment on a few other bases.
Such as what?
Falsification of your marriage certificate, for instance.
What the heck are you talking about?
Your age, for instance. You're not 24, Mr. Snowden. You happen to be 30.
Well, what's so important about that, for Pete's sake?
You gave your age as 24.
Well, so what? Everybody knocks a few years off their age at some time or other. It's just business.
Let's see. Your business is freight forwarding, isn't it? You work in a three-man company at a salary of $145 a week. Surely you didn't think it was necessary to dye your hair or anything like that for the sake of executive advancement.
Look, Mr. Hettinger, first of all, I'm 29, not 30.
I'm a few days premature, I suppose. You'll be 30 next week, won't you? Happy birthday, in case I don't see you.
I just didn't want Bonnie to think I was too old for her.
Don't make everything so difficult, Mr. Snowden, because you know how it's going to end. Mrs. Daniels is the most determined woman you've ever met in your life. She scares the pants off me, I can tell you.
Oh, well, that's your problem.
If she has to spend $1 million to get Bonnie out of your clutches, she'll do it. I'll guarantee you $10,000 if you'll sign an agreement.
I'm sorry, Mr. Hettinger, no can do.
You're a stupid boy, do you know that? Sorry, I take that back. A stupid man.
So long, Mr. Hettinger. Give my best to Bonnie's mother. And tell her we're both very happy.
Oh, Davy, it's horrible. We don't have a chance. I know we don't.
Well, it doesn't look good, that's for sure.
You should have told me the truth. You should have told me you were really 27.
What? I don't know. I just didn't want you to think that I was still an undergraduate at that age.
Oh, there's got to be some way out, Davy. There has to be. If you could just talk to her.
She won't give me the chance. She's made up her mind that all I want is your lousy money.
Well, what if there wasn't any money? What if I signed away the rights to the money my father left me? That would make her believe us, wouldn't it?
Well, that's pretty drastic, Kitten. I mean, that money is yours. When you come of age, you're entitled to it.
But I don't care about money, Davy.
Well, you don't now, maybe, but later... I couldn't have you making that kind of sacrifice for me. Bonnie, you'd probably hate me for it later.
Oh, I could never hate you. I love you so much. I think I'll love you after I'm dead. Davy? Davy, what are you thinking?
Nothing.
Davy, you don't care about the money, do you? Please talk to me.
Bonnie, I have an idea. I have a very crazy, very good idea.
About what?
Well, I wouldn't blame you for not going through with it. I'd understand.
But what is it?
You remember what you said, what you told the old... what you told your mother up at the house about your killing yourself?
Yeah, I remember.
Well, she didn't believe you, of course. What if your mother really thought you were serious about killing yourself? Wouldn't that make her change her mind in a hurry?
Well, yeah, I suppose it would, but we could never fool her about such a thing.
No. If we were smart, we could.
No, she's smarter than both of us put together. I know her, Davy. There's just no fooling her.
Wait a minute. Wait. Don't throw it away so fast. Let's talk about it. Let's think for a minute.
But it just wouldn't work.
Yeah, but if you really did try, Bonnie, only you didn't. Try too hard, only enough to make it look good.
Well, how can I do that?
There's a couple of ways. Gas, for instance. We could fix up a phony gas suicide. Bonnie, don't look like that.
I'm sorry.
All right, forget it. Forget I ever said it.
No. No, go on.
It could be something like, sleeping pills. You've got sleeping pills, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
What, you wouldn't have to take more than two? Maybe three. Now, that won't hurt at all. And we'd make her think you took the whole bottle. Now, don't you see how easy that'd be?
Yes, I suppose so. Oh, Davy, hold me, please.
Oh, Kitten, you could write your mother a letter. You could tell her what you were planning to do, but that I don't know about it, see? You could say you were going to swallow the whole bottle of pills. But you'll actually take just a few. Then when your mother shows up here...
Oh, I'm so scared, Davy.
I promise you nothing will happen except that your mother will know that you meant it, Bonnie. About loving me so much. You do love me, don't you?
Yes. Yes, Davy. I do. I do.
There's another famous saying about love. That it conquers all. Presumably that includes time, distance, and mothers-in-law. But will love and deception succeed together? We'll find out shortly when I return with Act 3.
Ever had a tall, frosty glass of Amplitude? Well, if your beer is Budweiser, you've had it often. Amplitude is a fancy word for the entire taste phenomenon, the total experience of flavor. Next time you take a healthy swallow of Bud, watch what happens. Think about the sensations you're experiencing. Notice how the flavor of Bud comes on nice and easy. Not too strong, not too quick, just right. Notice the clean, crisp togetherness of Bud's taste. Everything in perfect balance, with no single element jumping out at you. And there'll be no aftertaste either, no hanging on. And you'll be refreshed and ready for another glassful. Actually, Bud drinkers have been experiencing Amplitude for years. But they never phrase it that way. They just say, Budweiser. And that says it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Child of mine, tomorrow is yours. What kind of world will it be?
Every mother worries about the future of her children. But needy mothers overseas, barely surviving at the minimum level of existence, worry even more. Their families have never known a day when they were not hungry. They lack water that is safe to drink, medical facilities, schools. They need your help to give their children a chance in life. Through CARE, you can provide them with food, drinkable water systems, schools and medical care, and the means to help themselves. Help a mother to save a child's life today.
Please send your dollars to CARE, Department 2, New York, 10016.
Things seem very normal in apartment 4G, the one-room residence of the newlyweds, Bonnie and David Snowden. Music is playing on their transistor radio. A frozen dinner is thawing slowly, and Bonnie and David are hunched over the kitchen table, composing a letter. The only thing that makes this domestic scene a bit bizarre is that they are collaborating on a suicide note.
Dear Mother, I warned you what I would do if you tried to get our marriage annulled. Tonight, I'm going to take a whole bottle. Davy, do we have to have that music?
Okay. I didn't know it was bothering you.
I'm nervous enough as it is.
Okay, I said.
Dear Mother, I warned you what I would do if you tried to get our marriage annulled. Tonight, I'm going to take a whole bottle of sleeping pills. Oh, Davy, It just doesn't sound right.
It's not so bad, Bonnie. Look, maybe you better put in something about me not knowing about it. I think that's important, that your mother realizes that I had no idea you were going to try to take your life.
Well, maybe you better write it, Davy. I'm just no good at this sort of thing.
I guess you don't have much experience writing suicide notes.
Well, I just can't help feeling it's wrong.
Wrong? What? How?
Well, you know.
No, I don't. The only thing that could be wrong about it is if it didn't work. But, okay, if you've got cold feet, okay, we'll let your mother go through with it. We'll let that lawyer Hedinger get our marriage annulled. Is that what you want?
Well, you know it isn't.
Then have you got a better idea than this, have you?
No.
Then tell me what you want to do, Bonnie. You name it.
Well, just tell me what to write in the letter.
Well, the first line is okay. Only after that, I think you should say, Davy doesn't know I'm doing this. I didn't want anyone to know so that nobody would stop me.
Wait a minute, not so fast.
Well, you don't have to put it down exactly the way I said it. Make it sound like yourself, you know.
Yeah, I'll try.
And, what else? Say something about, I'm doing this because I love Davy, because I can't live without him.
Yes.
That'll make her understand. You see, she'll realize that you might try to kid yourself again if she broke us up. If she loves you, she won't want that to happen, Bonnie. You see?
Yes.
Hey,
Hey, come on. You're getting tears all over the letter.
Oh, Davey.
Go on, Bonnie. Now, sign it. That's right. That's just perfect. Now, have you got the envelope?
Here.
Okay, if I get it into the mail now, she'll have it tomorrow morning. Now, she's sure to phone here as soon as she receives it.
Davey, she might even call the police.
Well, it doesn't matter who she calls. Police, a doctor, it'll be okay. I mean, you'll really be asleep, Bonnie. You'll take just enough pills to put you into a nice, deep sleep. Understand?
Yes. I understand.
Now, I'll be right back, sweetheart. I'll just run downstairs and mail this, huh?
All right, Davey, but hurry back. I don't want to be alone. What time is it, Davey?
9:15.
Do you think Mother got the letter this morning?
Well, you never know with the post office these days. But it could happen.
Even if the letter gets there, she might not be home. She might have left the house early.
Doesn't matter, Bonnie. Sooner or later, she'll see it.
Well, I just don't think it's going to work, Davey.
There. That must be her.
Do you think it is, really?
There's no doubt about it. I don't know anybody who'd call me this early in the morning.
Well, how about the people at your office?
No. I'm away on a two-week honeymoon, remember? They don't even know I'm in town.
Well, Davey, shouldn't you answer it?
No, kid, no. Don't you understand? She's got to get worried enough to do something. And you've got something to do, too.
You mean take those pills?
That's right, Bonnie. Hey, you see? She stopped calling. She's probably on her way over here right now. Get the pills, Bonnie.
Yes, I have them right here. There are only three of them.
Okay, yeah, get you a glass of water.
All right. Davey, you're sure it'll be all right?
I'm sure, Bonnie. It takes like a dozen of these things to hurt you. You just take a couple. Yeah, no, you better make it all three, just to make sure you're fast asleep when your mother gets here.
She's only about half an hour away.
Well, that's time enough if you take them now.
Yeah, all right.
You can trust me, Bonnie, you know that. I won't let anything happen to you.
Yeah, I know that. I know that, Davey.
Okay, now come on, take the pill, sweetheart.
Yes.
There. That wasn't so hard, was it?
No.
Now all you have to do is go back to bed. Go to bed and to sleep.
That won't be so hard either. Even without the pills. I slept so badly last night.
Yeah, I know.
Davey?
Yes, kitten?
Please kiss me. Kiss me. Good night.
One second. Oh, Mrs. Daniels.
Where is she? Where's Bonnie?
Well, now, take it easy. She's sleeping.
Is she all right?
Well, what are you talking about? Of course she's all right. She's just asleep. She likes to sleep a little late in the morning, that's all.
Bonnie?
Hey, now, what do you think you're doing, Mrs. Daniels? Let her sleep, would you? She's had a bad night.
Look. Look at her color. Look at her. Can't you see this isn't normal?
Well, she's always a little pale. So what?
Bonnie, can you hear me? It's Mother. Oh, dear God.
Hey, what's the matter with you?
You idiot. Where were you? I phoned here about an hour ago. The phone just rang and rang.
I went out to get the paper. I just got back a couple of minutes ago.
Bonnie, darling, wake up. Wake up. Oh, why didn't I call somebody? Why didn't I call a doctor?
A doctor? What for?
Here. Read this.
Well, what is it?
Where's your telephone? Where is it?
Good Lord, this letter is...
We need a doctor, you idiot. Bonnie may be... Oh, no.
Mrs. Daniels.
She's dead. She's dead.
Oh, she can't be. She's just sleeping, Mrs. Daniels.
She took the pills. All those pills.
There weren't that many in that bottle. Maybe she'll be okay. I'll get the doctor.
It's too late. Too late.
She's not dead, I tell you. Bonnie, wake up, kitten. Wake up. It's all right. Everything's all right. Bonnie, for Pete's sake, it's all over now. You've got to wake up. Oh, she's so cold. Bonnie, wake up!
Leave her alone. Can't you leave that poor girl alone, even now?
Mrs. Daniels, I swear there weren't many pills in that bottle.
It wouldn't have taken many. Not with Bonnie's heart. It wouldn't take so... Well, it wouldn't take many.
What are you talking about?
Bonnie had rheumatic fever when she was 12. Her heart's been weak ever since.
No. No. Bonnie, please. Please. You've got to wake up. Hello?
Mr. Snowden?
Yes.
Walter Hedinger. You remember me, I trust?
Yes, I remember you.
Sorry to disturb you. I realize that you're still in mourning, of course.
What do you want?
I was wondering if you might be able to attend a meeting at our offices at 10:30 tomorrow.
A meeting? What for?
It concerns your wife's estate.
Now, what are you talking about? I've got nothing to do with my wife's estate, and you know it. Bonnie wasn't dead 2 weeks, and I got a letter from you telling me so.
Well, there is still something that Mrs. Daniels wishes to discuss with you. Something beyond the... shall I say, legality of the situation.
Look, if Mrs. Daniels thinks she can make some kind of trouble for me...
No. It's nothing of the kind.
Don't try to kid me. She still blames me for Bonnie's death. She'd do anything she could to hurt me.
I assure you, Mr. Snowden, it's to your advantage to attend the meeting tomorrow.
My advantage?
That's correct. Because I can promise you one thing. Mrs. Daniels wants to do the right thing.
Please come in, Mr. Snowden.
Yes. How are you, Mrs. Daniels?
I'm as well as I can be, thank you.
Yes, of course.
Don't look stricken, young man. Nobody's going to hurt you. Have a chair.
Thank you.
Well, let's get started, shall we? Mrs. Daniels, as you know, we've already informed Mr. Snowden that he has no legal claims on your daughter's estate.
Yeah, I know all about that.
But did you explain why? You see, Bonnie's inheritance from my late husband wasn't due until she reached the age of 21. Since her death, it automatically reverts to me.
I didn't expect anything, Mrs. Daniels.
Very kind of you, I'm sure. However, Mr. Snowden, the fact that you did marry Bonnie imposes a certain kind of obligation on me. Some kind of gesture regarding your welfare.
I don't understand.
Mr. Snowden, you seemed most impressed by that old house we own upstate. You recall the one I mean?
Yes, of course.
It was once valued at a great deal of money. And it's yours.
What was that?
I'm deeding you the property. It would have been Bonnie's in a few more years. I have no further use for it. You may have complete possession of the land, the house, and everything in it.
Everything? You really mean everything?
Of course. Mr. Hedinger will see to the formalities. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go.
What? Gee, Mrs. Daniels,
please, don't thank me. I can stand anything from you now except gratitude. Good day.
Well, let's take care of the details.
Mr. Hedinger, could I ask just one question?
Yes?
When Mrs. Daniels said I could have everything in that house, there are certain places, locked rooms and things like that. Am I entitled to all of the contents?
You're entitled to every stick in the place, Mr. Snowden. In fact, Mrs. Daniels left you this full set of keys.
Oh, look at it. Look at it. It's all mine. The whole house, mine. God knows how much it's worth. Yeah, sure, it's run down, but the furniture alone. Where's that light switch? Here it is. Yeah, what did Bonnie call it? A terrible old bond. Yeah, but it's all mine, sweetheart. It's Davy's bond now. Maybe it's not $1 million, but it's something. Where are the rest of those keys? A dozen keys, but one of them must open that door. Yeah, one of them will do it, so let's just get going, Davy boy. That was really something, her giving me this house. Noblesse oblige, I guess. I gotta give the lady credit. She's got class. Let's see. It wasn't this floor. No, it was the next. There's gotta be a very good reason for locking up a room. There's gotta be something very valuable inside. Yeah, that's the door. That's the one. Okay, now to find the key. No, no, not that one. This is... it's obviously too small. How about this one? No, that didn't do it. This one's too big. Not yet. I hope it's here. The lawyer said they were all here. Well, try this one. Well, it slipped in all right, but will it turn? Wait a minute, it's stuck, but I think it's gonna do it. I think it's gonna work. That did it, that did it. The lock's open. All I gotta do is open the door. It's pretty dark in there. Shades are down. What? I see a lamp over there.
Some more sherry, Walter?
No, thank you, Mrs. Daniels.
Oh, stop looking so grim, Walter. Sit back and relax.
Mrs. Daniels, I can't help but worry about what happened.
Worry? About that scoundrel?
You know what I mean. When that police lieutenant questioned me about Snowden's death, well, I didn't actually lie to him, but I didn't tell him the whole truth either.
You were completely honest, Walter. I'm sure you were.
No, I wasn't. You see, I'm absolutely sure you knew what you were doing when you deeded that house to him.
Of course I knew what I was doing. I was being generous.
But you knew what would happen, didn't you?
Yes, Walter, I knew. I knew there was no treasure behind that door. Only the rotten floorboards that made us shut up the room 15 years ago. I used to argue with my husband about it. I used to say that we should have the floor repaired before someone fell through to the basement. But he was a strangely miserly man sometimes. Not nearly as generous as I am. Now drink your sherry, Walter.
Well, what can you say about an 18-year-old girl who dies? Or her 30-year-old lover, for that matter? Regretfully, this love story has ended with both the lovers gone, which ought to make it twice as popular as the movie. I'll be back shortly.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? The Better Business Bureau knows.
Wednesday, 10 o'clock. I'm back at the office working on the case when my secretary brings me the mail. Thanks, kid. The usual stuff. Then I see it. It's addressed to me, resident. Inside, a fake rabbit's foot. The pitch, a $2 donation or send back the rabbit's foot. My problem, what to do about it.
I'll help you with good advice from the Better Business Bureau.
Oh, yeah? Spill it.
If you receive unordered merchandise in the mail, you are under no obligation to return it or pay for it.
Thanks, pal. You're okay.
Just another consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
David David Snowden isn't the last victim you'll hear about on our Radio Mystery Theater. We intend to bring you the final dying screams of many, many more. That's a specialty of radio, of course, which explains why we give all our actors scream tests. Our cast included Carmen Matthews, Corrine Orr, Jack Grimes, and Sidney Smith. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I know I'm no sort of expert, but can't you talk about your work with me?
There's a reason for it, Lisa. There's a reason.
Well, what?
I told you, my nightmares, they're all visions in black and gray and slashes of red.
Well, then if you won't talk about your paintings, why not tell me about your nightmares?
You wouldn't enjoy hearing about them. Or rather, about it.
It?
I have only one nightmare. Just one. I have it virtually every night. Sometimes it follows me into the daylight. I can close my eyes, and there it is. For years, I've tried to destroy it by painting it. Not its details, just its colors. But the therapy hasn't worked.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS News coming up shortly on KIXI. CBS News is next on KIXI, AM and FM in Seattle. The time is 12 midnight.
CBS News. Hank Aaron finally did it, hitting homer number 715 last night during the Atlanta Braves' first home game. I'm Stephanie Shelton reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Aaron bettered Babe Ruth's home run record in the fourth inning with a count from Los Angeles Dodger pitcher Al Downing at one ball, no strikes. Afterward, on NBC, Aaron told the fans how he felt.
I just thank God it's all over with. Thank you very much.
The Atlanta fans were overjoyed that history happened before their eyes, but they weren't particularly pleased with Baseball Commissioner Bowie Kuhn, who didn't show up for the game and who had ordered Aaron to play during a game at Cincinnati over the weekend where he might have hit that record breaker. So when Monty Irvin of the commissioner's office presented the gold watch to Aaron, the home fans made their feelings clear.
It is indeed a pleasure to present to you the solid, gold-studded diamond watch on behalf of the Baseball Commissioner's Office, emblematic of your record-breaking 715 home run.
More CBS News after this message.
This is Andy Musser, CBS Sports. Every weekday on Game Plan, I examine the big upcoming sports events, get the locker room wisdom, talk to the players, coaches, and broadcasters, and try to figure out what the results will be. We look ahead and consider the big games on the immediate schedule. It's pregame analysis, taking everything into consideration that may affect the outcome. Hope you'll match your forecast with mine on Game Plan every Monday through Friday here on the CBS Radio Network, where the listeners are.
You finally made your gift list. Your neighbor's child is 2, your niece is 6, and nephew is 7. But before you go to the toy store, there's something else you should do. Write TOYS, Washington, D.C., 20207 for a free booklet on toy safety. That's TOYS, Washington, D.C., 20207. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission.
The defense continues its presentation today in the conspiracy trial of former cabinet members John Mitchell and Maurice Stans. Robert Finch is the scheduled witness. Defense lawyers have declined to give any preview of his testimony, except to say that he will be more than a character witness. Finch is a longtime friend and political associate of President Nixon's and was a cabinet member during Mr. Nixon's first term. Columnist Jack Anderson has released papers showing that Vice President Gerald Ford paid more than a third of his income in federal taxes during the years 1967 through 1972. According to the documents, the IRS audited Ford's returns during that six-year period and required only minor adjustments from Ford. There was no comment from Ford's office, a spokesman saying only that the vice president did not want to comment on stories that put his tax returns in a more favorable light than the president's. On the Public Broadcasting Service program Washington Straight Talk, AFL-CIO President George Meany again called for Ford to replace President Nixon.
I think he would restore confidence in the country because actually the whole problem here is the credibility of one man. It's got to the point where with the statements and the misstatements and the changes in statements, the evasions, the delays, and the people have been waiting for months for the truth, and they've got to the point where it's got to the point where this is hurting the economy of the country, and I think I'm surely think it's hurting our foreign relationship. Our standing in Europe is way down.
George Meany. Massachusetts Senator Edward Kennedy is due back in Washington today after a two-day visit to Bonn, West Germany. Kennedy, on a private visit, held talks with Chancellor Willy Brandt and members of the West German cabinet. In a speech last night to a foreign policy association, Kennedy talked about NATO, saying that if there is any reduction of U.S. forces in Europe in the coming years, this will not mean the U.S. is less committed to the NATO alliance. The Baltimore Evening Sun said Monday that the federal government is extending its probe of corruption in Maryland politics to the administration of Governor Marvin Mandel. More CBS News after this.
Don't let anyone con you into thinking it's wrong to turn in a heroin pusher. You're not ratting. You're doing your part to wipe out one of the most insidious epidemics racking our country today. So don't let anyone kid you. If you really care about the quality of life, if you really care about improving society, you'll do everything you can to get the heroin pusher off the street and into jail where he belongs. If you have information about a drug pusher, use the heroin hotline. The number is 800-368-5363. That's toll-free from anywhere in the country. The number again is 800-368-5363. A trained operator will answer your call, take your information, and pass it on to experienced federal agents who will investigate. You'll make your own special contribution toward helping us wipe out what President Nixon has called public enemy number one. Call 800-368-5363.
Dr. Arnold Barnett of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology says a mathematically based study shows that a baby born this year in one of America's 50 largest cities has an almost 2% chance of being murdered in his and her lifetime. According to Barnett, this means that a person born in 1974 will have a greater chance of being killed than a U.S. soldier did during World War II. Stephanie Shelton, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI, the weather outlook, variable cloudiness through tomorrow. Occasional light rain today, decreasing tomorrow. Highs in the upper 50s, lows in the lower 40s. It's currently 50 degrees at 6 minutes past midnight.
Something wrong here, there can be